Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ. So the last episode of the podcast was devoted to glam rock, which was a European phenomenon in the mid-70s. There's not really an American counterpart to what was going on in Europe in the 70s, especially the poppier, more bubblegum elements of glam rock that were so successful that topped the charts in Europe. Sweet were probably the most successful glam rock band in the States, British, European glam rock band. Fox on the Run was a big hit, and Love is Like Oxygen. T-Rex had the one hit with Bang a Gong. Slade didn't really have any hits, and they had the most hits in Europe. The American version of glam rock, I suppose, begins with Alice Cooper, who was very successful in the United States, and then the New York Dolls, who were not a hit at the time. But there were plenty of other bands that were doing a version of glam rock, American bands, in the mid to late 70s. For example, Milk and Cookies, a band that formed in Long Island in 1973, they recorded an album in 1974 for Island Records. It was produced by Muff Winwood, Steve Winwood's older brother, who was in the Spencer Davis Group with Steve Winwood. He produced, that same year, he produced the Sparks album, Kimono My House, that was a huge hit in the UK. And Milk and Cookies were managed by John Hewlett, who I talked about on the last episode. He managed Sparks, and he also managed the band Juke, that I raved about on the last episode. So Milk and Cookies recorded that album in 1974 for Island Records, but it wasn't actually released until 1976. So like I said, that album was recorded in 1974, released in 1976. In between there, in 1975, the band recorded a few more songs, which went unreleased until RPM Records put out a CD by the band in 2005. I talked about RPM on the last episode. They released compilations of Junk Shop Glam, and they also put out the CD by Juke called Different Class. Well, also in 2005, they released a CD of Milk and Cookies. The whole album and about six additional songs, including this song, which was recorded in 1975, called Tinker Toy Tomorrow.
Wait.
Ready Teddy were a band that formed in 1972 in Boston. They signed a record deal with Mercury in 1974, but the deal fell through. They put out a single on their own, and in 1976, they signed with a local label called Spoonfed Records and put out a really great self-titled album. $5 Shoes are a band there's very little information to be had about, except that their self-titled album came out in 1972 on a record label called Neighborhood Records. And the rumor is that Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons sang background vocals on the album. See if you can hear them on this song called Love Song. Speaking of Kiss, the Hollywood Stars, a band that was put together in 1974 by Kim Fowley, recorded some demos in 1975, one of which ended up being rewritten for Kiss's 1976 album Destroyer. The Hollywood stars eventually signed a record deal with Arista Records and put out a self-titled album in 1977. And while we're on the topic of Kiss, I thought I'd play a 1975 unreleased demo that surfaced on the internet a few years ago, a song that the band recorded in between Dress to Kill and Destroyer, which is the same time period that the awesome demo Don't You Hesitate from the box set was recorded. This is a Kiss demo from 1975 called Smoke. Back to the Hollywood stars, when that band's original singer Scott Ferris was replaced by Mark Anthony, Scott Ferris joined another LA band called Hero. Hero signed with Mercury and released their first self-titled album in 1977. Hero released a second album in 1978 called Boys Will Be Boys.
Boys!
Pandora are a New York City band that nobody knows much about. They recorded some demos in 1974 that went unreleased until 1997. David Werner was a singer-songwriter from Pittsburgh who signed with RCA. His debut album, Whiz Kid, came out in 1974. David Werner released a second album with RCA in 1975, which was called Imagination Quota.
Cold shivers down my spine. What does it matter? Yeah.
Another Pretty Face were a band that moved from Allentown, Pennsylvania to New York City in 1973, and in 1974 they recorded some demos with Ed Stasium that went unreleased until about 10 years ago. Left End were an Ohio band that signed with Polydor in 1972, and their album Spoiled Rotten came out in 1973. Thunder Train were a really cool band from Boston. They released a single in 1976, which was called Hot for Teacher. If we're talking about American glam rock, I think it's fair to include Cheap Trick in the discussion. They formed in 1974, and check out this live performance from 1975. Quiet Riot came together in 1975, the original four members being Kevin DeBrow, Randy Rhodes, Kelly Garney, and Drew Forsyth. They were really big on the Sunset Strip. A record deal with Casablanca Records fell through, but they signed with Sony, and in 1977, Sony released their debut album. Unfortunately, it only came out in Japan. Zolar X were an out-there band that played the LA clubs throughout the 70s. In 2004, Jello Biafra, who was a huge fan of the band, released a compilation on his label Alternative Tentacles called Timeless.
Stars, you're still searching Mars.
Another quasi-glam band from LA from the 70s, I talked about them on the Power Pop episode. Singer Danny Wilde later ended up in Great Buildings and then the Rembrandts. Their album, Mondo Deco, sounds a lot like Sparks. It was released by Mercury in 1976. After that, they recorded some demos in 77 and 78 for a possible deal with Elektra that never happened. One of those songs, Pretty Please Me, wound up Steve Hustetter, who was the guitar player in the band, took it with him when he joined the Dickies, and they released it. And it was also covered by Red Cross. It's a great song. One more LA band, Legs Diamond. They formed in 1975, signed with Mercury Records. First album came out in 1976. This song is from their second album, 1977, A Diamond is a Hard Rock. Hounds were a band from Chicago. Singer John Hunter would perform with handcuffs dangling from his wrist. Their 1978 debut album, Unleashed, came out on Columbia Records.
Take
The Fast were an NYC band that formed in the early 70s. They were a big part of the Maxis Kansas City and CBGB scenes in the mid-70s. As early as 1972, there are photos of the band wearing makeup around their eyes, in vaguely similar to what Kiss started doing the next year. Singer Mikey Zone actually wore a heart just around one eye and has been known to accuse Paul Stanley of ripping him off. In 1976, there was a compilation of Maxis Kansas City bands that performed at Maxis Kansas City in those mid-70s years, and The Fast had a song on that 1976 compilation record called Boys Will Be Boys. In 1975, Billy Squire signed a management contract with Bill Acoin, and then they put together the band Piper around him. Piper signed with Capitol Records, and their first album came out in 1976. When Stars originally came together in 1975, they were calling themselves the Fallen Angels, and they demoed some songs, including this one. Angel, of course, were Casablanca Records' sort of bizarro version of Kiss. I've read about how the band used to use an illusion to actually appear on stage at the beginning of their show. And I guess that's the one thing that's not on YouTube, is a video of the opening of an Angel show where they appeared on stage out of thin air. I'd love to see it. Anyways, I suppose I can't have a show about American glam without playing a song by Angel. This one's from their second album, Hell of a Band. Trigger were a New Jersey band that formed in 1973. They apparently had a record in 1975 that only sold a few hundred copies. A second album, a self-titled album, came out in 1978 on Casablanca Records. If you've ever seen that album cover, you know what I mean when I say that some guys probably just never should have attempted the glam look. It's a good record though, especially this song. That song is basically a power pop song, but if you've seen the album cover, you understand why I feel like I can get away with playing it on the American glam rock show. Twisted Sister formed, believe it or not, in 1973, and Dee Snider joined the band in 1976. In 1978, they recorded a bunch of demos, including this song, which is pretty glam rock. Yeah.
So turn up the light and kiss me goodnight. I really didn't think you were there.
White Witch were a Tampa, Florida band that formed in the early 70s, and their records were released by Capricorn Records, a label that was mostly known for Southern rock. Chris Robison was in the legendary Velvet Turner Group and served a short stint in a late version of the New York Dolls. Then he formed his own group called Stumble Bunny. They had a record in 1979 called While You Were Out. So those are the best examples of American glam rock that I could come up with. The people who really wanted to make it in glam rock moved over to the UK. You had Sparks that moved over there. Suzy Quatro was an American. The guys in the Arrows, Brett Smiley, you know, they all moved over to the UK to try to find success with that kind of music because it wasn't really popular in the United States. And what did pass for glam rock in the US was a much more punkier, less, you know, bubblegum version of it, which is why a band like the New York Dolls is credited with being an influence on the advent of punk rock. And you can hear that in a lot of these other bands too, that kind of sleazy, raw, raucous sound that they had. The glam part was more the image and the look than even the sound. What is referred to as glam rock in Europe was a very different kind of style of music usually than very different to what was glam rock in the United States, I guess. Alice Cooper, obviously, and then the New York Dolls are really the benchmarks for American glam rock, of course. But I tried to play you some of the more obscure, similar artists that were making a certain kind of music in the 70s, I suppose. 70s rock in America was definitely a different kind of animal compared to 70s rock in the UK and Europe. Okay, so if you're listening to the show, here's what I need you to do. I'd really like to get an idea of who is listening to the show. So if you're listening and you're enjoying it, go to the blog, rockandorrollpodcast.blogspot.com. There you'll find a link to the Facebook page. Go to the Facebook page, like the Facebook page, leave a comment if you'd like to. What do you like about the show, etc. Any positive or negative feedback is fine with me. Also at the blog is the email address, rockandorrollpodcast@gmail.com. Send me an email. I would just like to get an idea of who's listening. So if you're listening to the show, if you're enjoying the show, and if you have any suggestions or comments, leave them on Facebook, the blog, or send me an email. I hope you enjoyed the American glam rock episode. And now, to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with American glam rock at its finest. One of my favorite songs. First song on the second side of the second album by the New York Dolls. The album's called Too Much Too Soon. This is my favorite New York Dolls song. That is a highly underrated record. The second New York Dolls album is amazing. I love it. Listen to it with the headphones on. Listen to it. You've got Johnny Thunders in one ear, Sylvain in the other ear. It's awesome. Take my advice. Listen to the second New York Dolls album with headphones. Especially this song.
And now you're walking just like you're 10 foot tall. Oh, looking at, I'm trying.